Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 247-7282.
Andrew Foster from Harvell and Collins in, as we always do on this Thursday, morning. And welcome, Andrew.
Good morning, Mike.
I trust you had a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Very nice. Yeah. Nice to get to see some family members again.
Absolutely. In a couple of weeks, we have Christmas ahead of us, and it's the end of the year.
No doubt about it.
If that means anything in the way of life and taxes, I'm sure it does, getting things in order for the end of the year. But
it most certainly does, and we've got some news out there to talk about. You know, it's funny how what an end of an election cycle will do, because, you know, we were talking before the election about possible further coronavirus relief bills, you know, and we had the Democrats out there with a $3.4 trillion measure.
Big number.
Big number. You know, the Republicans were right at $1 trillion was kind of where they were coming in at.
Not too shabby either.
Yeah, not small change there. But you know, nothing got done.
Right.
You know, and I guess it was an effort to say, we're going to let the election play out and then we'll maybe come back to the table. And it appears that we've got the House and Senate Democrats coming back to the table and being a little bit more realistic with what they're trying to do for the American people. And in yesterday's news, you know, the proposal is now a $908 billion with a B, coronavirus relief bill. And I'm pretty sure this is either round four. We'll call it round four relative to corona relief. And what's being proposed right now, which I think that Senate Majority Leader McConnell has kind of stated that he can get his head around this one and feels like we might be able to get a deal here. It is bipartisan in nature. I know that. $300 billion for unemployment insurance. That would equate to $300 federal weekly unemployment benefits. You remember before we were at $600.
Yeah.
So, you know, cutting that in half. But right now, you know, it would just expire altogether and there would be zero federal unemployment benefits. $240 billion in payroll protection plan money.
Another PPP.
Remember before that program had $659 billion, and I believe they're allocating some of that money still over here to this plan as well. $51 billion in health and vaccine funding. So that's, you know, roll out of this virus, the logistics behind it. You got to get this vaccine out there. So you got to have the money to do so. And also the testing that's ongoing relative to COVID. $160 billion for state and local governments. And I think this is where the big number was, because remember, the Democrats' plan was much higher than this, relative to money that was going to go to state and local governments to help with budget shortfalls, due to the pandemic. And then a temporary liability shield for businesses for coronavirus litigation. So this is kind of interesting. We all know there will be lawsuits.
Yeah, that's an unknown what that could come out at.
Correct. Yeah. So right now it would kind of halt that to avoid businesses having to go through litigation at the present time. Put a little moratorium on that. What's left undone, which is probably most pressing to our listeners, is no stimulus checks proposed in this particular relief measure. So before, remember, we had $1,200. We talked about that being a tax-free payment, $1,200 per individual, $500 for dependent. Those payments came in under the original coronavirus relief plan. That would attack another $300 billion or so onto this plan, and that was not included in this bipartisan compromise bill that is likely to ultimately lead to President Trump signing it into law.
That's interesting.
Another thing is a moratorium on evictions. So that's, you know, we've got one right here in North Carolina right now. Governor Cooper has, you know, stopped evictions for the most part here in the state of North Carolina. But on the federal level, there was a moratorium on evictions that expired, and this bill does not pick that back up. So it'll be up to the states to determine whether or not they're going to continue to stop foreclosures, stop evictions, which obviously the governor in the state has chosen to continue with that.
So what do you think the chances of getting this passed through the House and the Senate in before Christmas? I mean, they got issues up there in D.C. as far as, because they're going to run out of money on the 11th of December unless they pass a CR to keep the government going. And then, you got the Electoral College meeting on the 14th. That's another thing.
Yes.
I think there's a couple elements of what you just outlaid there that are going to be some heartburn for the Republicans. And that's the $160 billion going to cities and states because of bailout for states, I mean, if they're going to try to use it under the coronavirus template, but they're going to say, like, Illinois, for instance, you know, has some massive debts. And do we bail out a state that had problems before coronavirus yeah. with this money? You know, back in the before time, you would talk President Obama's reconstruction, the ACA, not the ACA, the ARA, was about $800 billion, and people thought, my goodness, that's a ton of money.
That's right.
Now we just talk about billions like it's nothing. $1 trillion doesn't sound like much.
Yeah, I think the motivation here, Mike, is obviously both sides believe that something needs to be done. You know, the Republicans were pushing for it heavily before the election and said, let's just get a compromise bill done. And I think it's one of those, you know, their line of thought was, you want $3 trillion, we'll give you $1 trillion. That's a heck of a lot better than doing nothing.
And they,
so,
you know, they could push this through and yeah. get something just under $1 trillion. Who knows what the outcome of the Atlanta Senate runoff will be January 5th. And if by chance the Dems get both of those seats, then Biden and Cruz can make any type of bill they want.
You're looking at that $3 trillion bill probably coming back to the table pretty
exactly.
easily, and there will be a lot of bailouts going on.
And you imagine how that would slide through the House and the Senate.
Yeah.
Lickety split.
But I do believe that the push to get something done before the end of the year is upon us. And, you know, the Democrats, I think, feel a little sting from the way that the House and Senate races went during the election. You know, yeah it looks like they've gotten the presidency, but they did lose seats.
They lost a lot of seats in the House.
Lose a lot of seats in the House and only picked up one in the Senate.
Yeah.
So it does look like that there's motivation to say, yeah, you played your political card to be obstructionist on this particular measure, and that may have come back to bite you a little bit. So I think that's why they're now back to the negotiating table and wanting to say, hey, look, in the spirit of, you know, getting something done and bipartisanship at the end of the year, let's go ahead and get this bill passed. And then, of course, you're right. Who knows, come January 1 or January 20th especially, you know, that'll be just after the Georgia elections, and that's when the new president will be sworn into office, where this will take us. But that I feel confident that this is likely to be somewhere around these numbers is where we're
right.
going to land.
Yeah, I think so, you're probably right.
The next thing I want to talk about, you know, there is a PPP component, payroll protection plan component to this new bill that's being proposed at the moment. And I just wanted to go back and address for our listeners who have gotten these PPP loans or who are even thinking about possibly, hey, look, Andrew, you're mentioning here's a new bill out there. There might be some more relief relative to our business. And just remember what this plan was, Mike. This plan was to allow businesses for an 8-week period to be paid a loan through banks guaranteed by the federal government for payroll cost, rent cost, utility cost, those type of expenses.
Mm-hmm.
And then as long as the business kept their employees employed, paid out this money for payroll, rent, utilities, then that loan can be forgiven. Okay. And in the bill itself, Mike, there's a provision in there that says that canceled indebtedness income, which we've talked about a lot on this program about how that is income. You know, you get your mortgage, you get your mortgage, waived because there's a foreclosure and they don't come after you for a deficiency action. You compromise a credit card bill down and there's a difference between what you owed and what you actually paid. That canceled indebtedness, you get a 1099-C at the end of the day. And guess what you have to do? You have to put that into income as if you received that money, and that's your income for the year component. They put into this bill a waiver of that. So basically, we all knew that when the loan was forgiven, that would not result in canceled indebtedness income for the business. So then the question ultimately became, okay, well, we know we're not going to have income as a result of this forgiveness. What happens with these expenses that we're paying? Because normally these expenses, these payroll costs, these rent payments, these utility payments, those are naturally deductible business expenses under Section 162 of the code. Those are something you traditionally write off
right.
for a business. And the question was, can you both get the relief from the forgiveness of the loan and then also take the benefit of deducting the expenses And the answer came back in forms of regulations as, no, we're not going to allow you to do that. You know, I know there was some disagreement amongst senators about, hey, we want you to be able to do both. We want you to be able to get the canceled indebtedness waived, and we also want you to be able to deduct those expenses. We're here to help businesses as much as possible. Yeah. That seemed to be a lot of what this, what a couple of the Republican senators were saying. The question then arose, Mike, and this is kind of one of those tricky ones, and you find yourself, when they write these bills, you know, you don't think through the whole thing altogether, and that's why part of the reason we didn't have this deductibility question answered in the bill itself. What happens if you're working on your forgiveness, but by the end of the year, your loan hasn't been forgiven, and you're a calendar year taxpayer, and all of a sudden you've got this loan that's out there. We know that loan is non-taxable because loans are non-taxable, but it hasn't been forgiven yet. Can you go ahead and deduct your expenses that you've paid from the, from those monies? Okay.
Yeah.
And then the loan gets forgiven in the next year. And then poof, you've solved your problem because you've been able to deduct when they were actually deductible expenses allowable under the code. And then the next year the loan's forgiven. And guess what? Guess what, Mike? We have in the bill the forgiveness of the loan is what? It's not canceled indebtedness income.
Yeah.
So is that a way for you to kind of sneak in and be able to get your cake and eat it too? Deduct your expenses in 1 year and take the forgiveness in the next year.
I think I'd be calling Harbell and Company for an amended tax statement the next year. I think that's what it's coming to.
So that was one of the issues that was on the table. And, you know, we've gotten guidance on that. And what do you think the answer is, Mike?
No.
No.
Of course not.
The answer is no.
I mean, the PPP was a lifeline.
Yeah.
I mean, but it was a generous lifeline. But you, like you said, you can't have your cake.
But you see, this is where it happens, Mike. You know, the funny thing about this is that you have tax practitioners out there who are thinking about
thinking
these
about
things.
Yeah, if you
can
this,
we get the deduction in 1 year and take the forgiveness the next year and do it all?
You guys are smart.
And the answer
guys.
Is no, but it was a good try.
If you have questions, you need to call Andrew Foster today at Harbell and Collins and let him guide you through this process. Because although it sounds simple, it is complicated, but he makes the complex simple. Call him today, 252-726-9050, or go online to Harbell and Collins.com. Thanks, Andrew.